We're going to be in the Gospel of John today, and we began last week, the first part of John chapter 1, talking about the Word becoming flesh. So the incarnation of Christ, it just means that it's a theological term. I don't think it's in Scripture, but it just means that the Son of God was clothed with flesh, so carne, all right? He was clothed with flesh, so we call that the incarnation. John chapter 1 is one of the passages where we really see that described, but also Philippians chapter 2. So I was at a Bible study with the baseball players at Doan Tuesday night, and so they were discussing Philippians chapter 2. They did a very good job on that. So that's the other passage that really talks about the incarnation of Christ, how he became flesh, he dwelt amongst us, took on the attitude of a servant, was obedient to the Father even unto death. So it's a great passage there in Philippians 2. So we're going to keep building on that. We're going to look at the ministry of John the Baptist. That is in, we're going to start in verse 19 of chapter 1. And I'm going to read out of the ESV this morning. I usually read out of the NIV, but I was reading the ESV by accident last week, and it kind of, as I was reading this passage and preparing, there's just some things that jumped off the page at me, and I thought, you know what? That's a good question to ask ourselves. We're going to look at three questions we should all ask ourselves, right? Okay, and they're included this. They asked them of John the Baptist, the religious leaders, and so we're going to kind of take that and apply that to our own lives. Amen? So let's dive in, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your word that is able to shape and mold us, Lord, and guide us into truth. Lord God, in these moments, give us an open heart to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to your church. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to begin in verse 19 through 22. And let's begin there. And I'm used to reading out of my hard copy Bible here, but I'm going to just go off my iPad here. It says, "And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" Okay, so you can underline that if you can or highlight it. "Who are you?" It's a good question, right? "He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ,'" the Messiah, okay? The anointed one is, if you would look at in the original language. "And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?'" Right? The prophet coming back. He said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to them, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" You know, and the first question there is, who are you? This is a question we should all ask ourselves from time to time. Ben Fuller has a song, you hear it on Christian radio, "Who am I? Who am I in the eyes of the Father?" And I think it is a question that we often ask because it's tied to our identity, right? Who am I? Now, often our identity is tied up in things other than God, okay? Sam shared his testimony Friday morning at FCA and talked about how at one point in his life, athletics defined who he was, his successes, until all of a sudden that is taken away. So maybe we'll have him share his testimony someday. But until that is taken away, sometimes we base our identity upon our career, right? And so that's good if things are going successful, right? But all of a sudden when things are not going so well, there goes our identity, right? We can put it in our financial status, our wealth, our accomplishments, all those things, we can place our identity in there. And when things are going well, then we think highly of ourselves. We have that confidence. This is who I am. But when those things are taken away, then it strips us of our identity and our worth, right? And as a Christian, we have to know who we are beyond our accomplishments, beyond our family ties and who we are in the status of society. Who are we, right? So how would you respond to the question that John received? Would you give them your name? "I'm so-and-so." Would you tell them where you're from, right? Would you tell them, "I'm a son and daughter of so-and-so"? Would you tell them your accomplishments? You know, usually that kind of, "Yeah, I accomplished this and this," right? Makes you feel more important. What would you tell them? Those are all possible answers, but do they really answer the question, who are you? And if we can be honest, most of us have asked those questions, that question of ourselves, especially maybe in sometimes the difficult moments of life, where we thought we had everything figured out, we thought we know who we were, and then all of a sudden, the things that we had put our confidence in, our identity in, are stripped away, right? Who am I? John was clear about who he was not. He was not the Messiah. Rather, he was one that was to prophesy and prepare the way for the Messiah, all right? And so we learn about John in Luke chapter 1. He's born just a little bit prior to Jesus, right? Elizabeth gets pregnant. It's a miraculous pregnancy, just as kind of Jesus's was, right? And when Mary finds out she's going to be pregnant with the Son of God, she goes and sees her cousin Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist, right? And when Mary shows up, what does John do? Yeah, he does somersaults in her womb, right? So it says Jesus leaps in her womb, right? Rejoicing that Jesus was here. Now, we don't know how much they interacted over the years, and we learn that later in that same chapter of Luke that John was growing. He's given a name, but then we don't know much more about John. We don't know a lot of what happened in his life, but all of a sudden he shows up. He's preaching in the wilderness. He has a pretty cool wardrobe, right? Camel's hair, right? And he eats a pretty cool diet, grasshopper and wild honey. So I don't know if anybody's taken off on that one yet, right? But that's what he did. He went out to the wilderness, but guess what? People came out to see him and to be baptized, right? So, but we don't know a lot about him, but John knew who he was. He was not the Messiah. He was the one, the forerunner, to prepare the way so that people would receive the Messiah. They would receive Jesus. In the same way, we should know our identity in Christ and his purpose. God has uniquely designed each of us for his purpose and glory. So in the giftings class, the finding your divine design, we discuss some of that, right? But what does it mean to know our identity in Christ? It means that knowing that we are a son and daughter of God, all right? I don't care if nothing else is going right. I don't care if nothing else is going your way. There's one thing you have going for you. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen? And you have to know that he loves you, that he is giving you gifts and talents, a personality, experiences, passions that he's placed within you for his purpose and for his glory. And the privilege is for us to discover that. Some people kind of just, I don't know, some people I think discover it early, stumble upon it early in life. I think for most of it is a lifelong pursuit that we discover who we are, our passions, our giftings, and what God has called us to do. People did not go out to see John because of his nice wardrobe or his wealth. They came because he had a message from God and a fire in his soul. And so they left. And they went to the country, into the wilderness, to hear a man that had a message that they wanted to hear. And it was a tough message. It's kind of like, hey, get your life right and repent of your sin and be baptized, right? Repent means to do a 180. Okay, you're going your way, and now you're going to turn, do 180, and now you're going to go God's way. And so they repented of their sin. Some received it, some did not. But people wanted to get right with God, and they heard his message. So, John knew who he was. He was able to answer the question. And so when we leave today, before you can leave, you have to tell me, who are you? No, I won't do that. It's a good question to ask, though. Let's look at question 2, verse 23. It says, John responded, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord as the prophet Isaiah said. So that's found in Isaiah 4:43. It's referred to there. So the second question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? John was preaching. He was preaching a message of repentance. And as people repented, they were baptized in water. Now, John's baptism would not be the same as what we practice today in the church. Okay? We practice a baptism, water baptism, but it is that I'm identifying with Christ. I've died to an old way of life, and I'm being raised to a new life in Christ. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, all right? And so some were baptized by John, and then later they were baptized in the name of Jesus, all right? In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so those things are similar, but they are not the same, all right? And so John, what was he doing? He was preaching, and he was baptizing. He was trying to get people prepared to receive the ministry of Jesus. So have you ever finished a day and asked the question, what in the world am I doing, right? Maybe in that way, right? Maybe it's been a hard day, a frustrating day, stressful day. And it's kind of like, what in the world am I doing? Now, yeah, some of you are there. All right, okay. Maybe you're stuck in a job that's stressful and unfulfilling. Maybe you're stuck doing a job that drains the life of you instead of energizing you. Most of us do not have a problem staying busy. We have a matter of staying busy doing the right things. Things that move us closer to our goals, that fill us with meaning and purpose, right? Things that fulfill our God-given purpose and bring Him glory. In the giftings class we offer, I think it's roughly 40 to 50% are in jobs that are right for them. Isn't that weird? Isn't that scary? Especially when you look at your surgeon, say, are you in it for the money or are you in it because you're good at this, right? Right? I'm serious. You know? Why are you in it, right? And I think at the end of the day, John was tired. He had given himself completely, but he was fulfilled because he knew he was accomplishing what God had called him to do. There's a lot of days that I can go to bed pretty exhausted, but it's okay if I know that it's fulfilling a purpose and accomplishing what I want to get done. Amen? You follow me? And that is my prayer for each of us, to sense that we know who we are in Christ and to fulfill the purpose He has given us on this earth. You know, one of the books that made Rick Warren a lot of money and really brought him to popularity was his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, really helping people identify what has God wired you for, what has He called you to do, and to discover that. All right? Let's look at our final question here, verses 24 through 28. Again, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. It says, now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, then why are you baptized? And so you can underline that why. If you're neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor a prophet, why are you baptizing? Who's given you authority to do this? Why are you doing what you're doing? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, he will, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across from the Jordan where John was baptizing. And so they asked him, why are you doing what you're doing? They wanted to know why. What authority? Why are you doing? Why was he living in a desolate desert? Why was he limiting himself to locusts and wild honey? Why was he living a simple life in humble conditions? Why was he going from sunup to sundown? Why were people coming to him to be baptized and get right with God? Why were people doing that and yet they weren't coming to the temple to worship? John knew he had been called for a specific purpose, to prepare the way for the Messiah. He wasn't going to be the Messiah, but he was to prepare the way leading up to the ministry of Jesus. And we're going to tackle that later on, what that took for John to do that. But John knew why he was doing what he was doing. So the question is, why are you doing what you are doing? Is it because it's your passion and calling? Is it because it's the first thing that's available? It fell into place. There was an apparent option or opportunity. It's what my parents wanted me to do, right? So there's a book called Find Your Why. Anybody read that book? All right? I kind of got the quick notes on it. I think, Amy, you've gone through that a little bit for school. I think they had you do that. It's by Simon Sinek. But your why is your purpose, your cause, your belief. It's your reason for getting out of the bed in the morning, for doing what you love to do. He believes to ask these questions in reverse. You should start with why and then ask how and then what, right? But why is your purpose, your values, the principle, how is your values and principles and what is the tangible things you're doing? So John, what was he doing? He was baptizing, he was in preaching. How was he doing it? Well, he was doing it out in the wilderness. Why was he doing it? Why? Because he knew he had a purpose to prepare the way for the Messiah. He says in his book that most people start with what? But good leaders are fulfilled by starting with why. Finding out why you're doing what you're doing. I think some key quotes, happiness comes from what we do. Fulfillment comes from why we do it, right? Working hard for something we don't care about is called what? Stress. Working hard for something we love is called passion, right? Things you're passionate about, you work just as hard at as some of the other things in life, but one thing will energize you and the other thing is kind of leaves you deflated, right? Right? Because when it's our passion, we'll go out there and we'll put it all out there and still feel fulfilled and have that meaning and sense of purpose. Amen? When we align emotionally with our why, our passion is ignited. And I think that's the thing that I think is important in our daily life, whether it's at work, whether it's in the church, at school, is aligning with our why. Because when we do that, there's a passion that's ignited within us. We rarely seek people out that are not passionate about what they believe. They can know a lot, they can do a lot, but if there's not a fire in them, nobody wants to be around them or follow them. But we want to follow and be around people that there's a passion in their heart and in their life. You follow me? And I think that's what God wants to put in each of you. Now, I know some of you are more extroverts and you're just a lot of energy, and some of you are pretty low-key, all right? But I think even low-key people have a passion, and when they're passionate about something, they get excited, right? Right? They do. I see this in the life of John the Baptist. He had a passion in his heart for what God had called him to do. And because of that, he fulfilled that purpose. And people came out to him in record numbers to hear the message that he had to preach and to get right with God. He fulfilled what God had called him to do. And you know what? At the end of the day, if we can do that in our own lives, isn't that a good thing? Whether it is laying your pillow, your head on your pillow, there we go, at night and thinking, wow, it was a tough day, but I know I did what God had called me to do today, as you reflect. Or whether you get to the end of your life and realize, you know what? Maybe there's some good and there's some bad during this life, but I know that I had given my life to the things that mattered. There's a peace there. There's a fulfillment. There's a meaning and a purpose. I want to conclude with this, verses 29 through 34. It says, the next day, he, John, saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Revelation there, right? This is he of whom it says, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me, and I myself did not know him. But for this purpose, you can underline that, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. See, John knew his purpose. And John bore witness, and I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him, and I myself do not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I bore witness that this is the Son of God. We know that in the other Gospels you see that John will baptize Jesus, fulfilling that. For this purpose, for this reason, John says, I was born. That was my purpose, to prepare the way for the Messiah. I'm going to have the musicians come. All that John had done was leading up to this very moment, and I think it was one of the most fulfilling days of his life. Why? Because John knew who he was, he knew what he was doing, but more importantly, he understood why he was doing it. He had the privilege to fulfill his role, and when his role was done, he stepped aside. And that's what we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. Because John was at a pretty pivotal time in his ministry. The crowds were gathering. He was famous. Everybody knew who John the Baptist was. And now God was saying, now you fulfilled your role. Now you're going to step aside because the Messiah is here. How would you like that? Go from a place of fame to obscurity. But that's what God called John to do. Questions to ask yourself. Who are you? And what are you doing? Does it align with your purpose? And why are you doing it? So let's ask those in reverse. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because then that determines what you should be doing and who you are. John knew the answers to those questions. Thus, he was able to fulfill the purpose for which God had prepared him for. It allowed him to prepare the way for Jesus and also to step aside so that Jesus could take the lead. I don't know where you're at in that process. Maybe you have it all figured out, and that's good. That's awesome. And maybe you're at the beginning, you're still trying to figure that out, or maybe you're in the middle somewhere. As I said, I think this is a process for a lot of us. There's some things that do change over time. But I believe John helps us out with some of these just very basic questions that we all need to answer in our own life. Because I can guarantee you, when we put our identity in the wrong things, there's going to be those moments in life when we're going to say, what in the world, who am I? Because the things that we thought that defined us are stripped away. And then we have to figure out, who am I? And why am I doing what I'm doing? When we can answer those questions, when we can nail those things down, it's going to give us a passion and a purpose in our life. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. I led us in a prayer of salvation already. And you can pray that anytime if you missed out on the first time. But I want to just pray a prayer over us and just invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us as we go into this closing song. Father, we're here today, Lord God. I believe most of us have accepted you as our Lord and our Savior. And Lord God, we thank you for the gift of salvation that you've offered to all of us. But the psalmist says that you've woven each of us together in our mother's womb, that the plans you have for us were determined before we were even born. Our personality, the things that we can do that nobody else can do, the passions that you place within our heart and call us to do. Those are all beautiful and created by you for a reason and for a purpose. And Aubrey Melfer says that the benefit of knowing who we are and knowing and liking who we are leads to us being who we are. And it creates a powerful thirst that leads to authenticity. And God, that's my prayer for each person here, Lord God, that there's a fire in our heart and our soul to fulfill the plans you have for us. It may be in the secular workforce. It may be within ministry within the church. It may be at our school or our campus. But that there's a fire in our heart and our soul placed there by you. That when people look at our lives, they see Christ in us. It's great that we tell people about Christ, but my prayer is that people can look at our life and say, you know what, there's something different about them. There's a passion, there's a happiness, there's a joy. They have something that I want, and I think that is the privilege and the honor that we get as believers, is that Scripture can guide us, and we have God to help us as our Creator to discover those things and to be the best version of who we are for His glory and His honor. And so, Lord God, help us in that pursuit to know you, to discover who we are, to know why you created us as you did, and to fulfill that purpose, Lord. Fulfill that purpose within each of us. We ask this in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. You know, I think too often people drift through life. They go where life takes them, where the currents take them. I like being out in a boat and drifting sometimes. But often if I want to catch fish, I have to be a little more intentional. I have to point that trolling motor where it's supposed to go. And often, sometimes when we drift, we're going to leave frustrated and discouraged because we're taking what life gives us instead of going with why God's created us the way we are. People sometimes want to be somebody that they're not. Somebody they see on Facebook, on TV. It's great. God's gifted them in a certain way to do different things. But God's called you to be you. Right? There's only one John the Baptist that we're aware of. Right? We may not like his clothing taste, but God had raised him up for a specific purpose and reason. He wasn't like everybody else. He was unique. And he could have said, man, I am just not like everybody else. He could have been frustrated. He could have been depressed. But he went with what God had called him to do. Because of that, I think he was very fulfilled. And he knew that he had accomplished what God had called him to do. Scripture says he's one of the greatest people recorded in Scripture because of what he did. Amen? Let that passion be ignited in your heart. Father, this morning, we go with us as we leave this place today. Lord God, let us change our world. Let us be salt and light in our world. And we have to let that light shine. We talked about that last week. Lord, to reflect the light of Christ within us, just as Jesus was the light of the world, you've called us to be a light on a hill that cannot be hid. And Lord God, when we have that passion in our heart for Christ and what you've called us to do, Father, it is light, it's bright, it's contagious, Lord. And God, I pray that for each one here. I don't care if they're an extrovert, introvert. Passion is contagious. And so, Lord God, ignite that passion in our heart for you, for what you've called us to do. Lord God, be with your people. Go with us this week. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave. If you're interested in the Wednesday night study, track me down.